Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
No. You know, we're just we're rolling through the summer. Things are moving quite fast. You know, from a coaching staff standpoint, you know, most of our guys are back. We have one more coach that has to go out to Utah for a camp and some and to get in front of some kids for 2024. But other than that, you know, we're hunkered down now, man. So we got a little, nice little stretch here before the fourth. You know, we'll start game planning our first couple opponents, and then give the coaches some time off. And then once we get back off the fourth, then you know, we're ready to go. So, from a team standpoint, guys are working out. Guys are in a book club right now. You know, they're doing like trying to just bond the team a little bit closer. You know, so we did a book club. First time I'd ever been a part of doing a book club, so I'm excited to see how this manifests. You know, for a season. So that's what those guys got going on. And that's about it.
Right on. Well, let's start with that. Jim, do you find that this is a more active time for recruiting for you, or does the summer give you a bit of a break, allowing you to focus on the 2023 season itself?
So it's a little bit of a juggling act. At times, you know, your focus is, you know, on week one, week two, week three opponents, just kind of getting a general breakdown of what they're doing, what they did, what we think they're going to do. And then at times you do got to shift your focus. Like June 27th is a big day for us. We're going to have kids on campus that are 2024. So it's a little bit of a juggling act. There is no. It's this way, and we're all full steam ahead. It's a juggling act. So
next up, we'll turn to Tim. He would like to know, how do you think that coaching has changed, even from the beginning of your time here at Hamlin?
Ooh. Internet, social media, you know, just being able to have the access, guys having information so fast, guys comparing themselves to other people, you know, like when you're able to look on the internet and see what other people are doing so quickly, where back in the day, you know, you had to get a paper, maybe wait till a Sunday to see what happened, where you can get stuff right now. I mean, that's a big change, man. The social media, big change, man. How many likes these kids have and what other programs are doing. You know, when back in the day, man, we were singly focused. When I played, man, all we cared about was Illinois State. We didn't know what was going on at Western Illinois, what uniforms Indiana State had, what coaching changes happened at Southern Illinois. Like, we were singly focused on us, and I think that was an advantage for us, man. So these kids are, you know, they're always looking on the line and the internet for things, and it can be used in a positive. I'm not being negative, but, you know, sometimes, you know, we can get in our own ways with that stuff. From the game standpoint, you know, it's more of an offensive game now. You know, people want to see points. You know, so that's changed a little bit. You know, the spread of the football. You know, when I first got here, there were a couple teams in our league that were playing with fullbacks. You know, you don't see fullbacks anymore. You know, you see a lot of one back, a lot of throwing the ball, whipping the ball around. The quarterback playing this league has been so good for so long. You know, so that's more of that's definitely changed. So I'd say that, and then, you know, just even how we practice. You know, when I first got here, you know, there was a lot more practice time and training camp where they cut that back. And it's for player safety, which I understand. And it's smart. It's all about player safety. So, yeah, I mean, just little nuggets like that have changed.
Next up, we have Paul. He says, Coach, apart from wins and losses, how do you feel the program is progressing according to what your vision was when you first took over the program?
You know what? Slowly but surely getting to where we want to get to, you know. And again, obviously, you know, you want to come in your first 3 years, you know, you want to flip it, you know, but there's a lot of variables into flipping a program. But as far as the young men we have in our program, the amount of kids we have in our program, how they conduct themselves in the classroom, very pleased with where we're at. Obviously not settling and not happy. But you know, the next step is to, you know, we got to generate, find a way to be more detailed in our work that's going to, allow more wins on Saturdays. So I'm pleased. I mean, obviously not happy with the total overall record from 2016, but hey, such is life, right? We got to work through it, and we'll be fine.
Ray would like to know, apart from a guy who puts himself at risk because he could be hurt because he weighs 100 pounds and is 5'4", would you allow anybody to join the team if they wanted to play college football?
No, well, I would say not anyone. Like, that's the beauty of college football and recruiting. You know, we go out and recruit, man. We got to go find the guys that fit our scheme, you know. So, man, it's not just, we don't have a big walk-on program. There's been, in my 10 years here, we've probably had three or four guys who've maybe knocked on the door and said, Coach, I'd like to join the team. Even then, you put them through a workout to see if they fit physically, and then more importantly, do they fit, from a culture standpoint of your team. So, yeah, we just don't take any and everybody off the street.
Gary would like to know, he says, Coach, I am so amazed at how quickly players are able to rehab these days. Are you amazed by how quickly the process goes and how a guy is back on the field in what seems like a very short amount of time?
No, man, not with technology. No, not with technology, man. Nothing's a chance with that stuff, man. And, you know, athletes are stronger and bigger these days. You know, the muscles are, I'm just speaking from common sense. This is nothing that I've researched, but I'm just assuming with your muscles, how they change and the food that we're eating and the technology, man. So it doesn't surprise me how guys are getting back so soon.
He would also like to know, because players see how quickly someone at the professional level or even at the higher college levels are able to recuperate and get back so quickly, do you find that sometimes you have to restrain or hold back players to keep them from developing some kind of injury?
Meaning coming off of an injury?
Yeah, I guess he's wanting to know if sometimes players think that they should rehab faster than they should, than they are, and so they push themselves, I guess is what he's asking.
Got it. Yeah, that's one thing, too. You got to be very careful. All that stuff is pushed right into our athletic training room. Tara Dooley does a great job with that, and I always defer to her. You know, we got a kid coming off of a knee right now, and I actually saw him walking around without his brace today, which I'm excited about. And it's like, hey, man, like, you got to be doing everything the athletic trainers. You can't push it, because worst thing you can do is you rush, and the listener said, man, that's the worst thing that can happen is you rush a kid back and then he's hurt for even longer, and we need this kid to be at 100%. So, yeah, we always defer to the trainers, and we get back when they say you're ready.
Next up, we have Aaron. He says, Denver wound up winning the NBA championship, Coach. Do you like it when a team that has never won winds up being the winner, or do you prefer to have a program that really dominates for several decades?
No, man, I'm all about somebody coming out from nowhere and winning, man. That's kind of how my whole life story's been, so I was super excited. Again, I would love to see Jimmy Butler get a ring, but it's all good, man. They didn't deserve it. Denver went out and took it. The Joker is very good. He's got a great sidekick in Murray, and hopefully they can keep that thing together. And it'd be interesting to see if they can go back-to-back, because, I mean, a small market team like Denver going back-to-back is a big deal.
Our buddy Tyler returns this week and says, Coach, I know it's interesting to always talk with coaches or listen to them talk about the bye week in football. There's a bit of a bye week this week in NASCAR racing until we get to Nashville next week. Do you feel that any racer has an advantage when they get that extra week off?
I would imagine so, yeah. Again, not knowing all the ins and outs of NASCAR, but I would imagine so, absolutely, man. Whenever you can, one, rest and recover, and then obviously, you know, take a more in-depth, you can go through with a fine-tooth comb of the track you're getting ready to go race, and the pit crew can, you know, obviously spend more time with how they're going to strategize and change some things up. Absolutely, it can be an advantage.
Next up, we have Tina, who says, Coach, it's starting to get hot out there. Does Coach Taylor spend less time outdoors as the sun starts to rise higher each day?
Well, Coach Taylor's a little overweight right now, so he needs to be outside in the sun and moving around a little bit more, man. So with that being said, I love the sun. I don't run from it. Need to get outside a little bit more, get out from behind this desk, sweat a little bit more, and get myself back to where I need to be. So, no, I'm running to the sun today.
If Coach Taylor's talking about being overweight, man, then I must be greatly obese. That's the stuff I'm starting looking at this now. Next up, we have Mike, who would like to know, Coach, what's the greatest risk you've ever taken?
The greatest risk? Ooh. Man, I hate when I get stumped on this show. The greatest risk. Wow. You know what? We're going to circle back with that one on the next show. Rob and I are going to put this one in the bank. I want to give a good answer. I don't want to give a fake answer here.
Next up, we have Emily. She would like to know, Coach, what is worse, a messy person, a loud person, or a person who never stops talking?
Messy person. Man, based off of my core philosophy, I can't deal with the mess. Yeah, the messiness is something. I'm a pretty neat person, so I'd say messiness would drive me nuts. But those are all tricky because somebody that talks too much, man, can get on your nerves too. So and somebody that I can deal with somebody talking loud. If you just say, hey, man, take it down. But, you know, there's some people that talk a lot. Man, you're like, holy smokes, does this person never shut up? So I don't know. If I had to pick between those two, I'd go with the mess because I can always leave the room.
Jenny would like to know, Coach, has your mom and dad ever shared with you their story of how they met?
Yeah. Well, first of all, they met in Philadelphia. My dad was, great question. My dad was interested in a young lady who was dating somebody at the time. So the young lady who was actually my godmother right now, that lady introduced her to my mom, and that's how they met. Yep.
Next up, we have Don. He says, Coach, fill in the blank. If I am eating this, you better not ask me for some.
If I'm eating some buffalo wings from maybe the D spot, which is a spot out here in Oakdale, which I think got some of the best buffalo wings, or buffalo wings from the Halftime Rec, better not ask me for any.
And what are our words of wisdom for this week, Coach?
Just something I shared with the older guys in leadership. Something I found on leadership, and it's from the late great Kobe Bryant. Just read it to you really quick. I mean, he says leadership is lonely. All right, if you're going to be a leader, you're not going to please everybody. You have to hold people accountable, even if you have that moment, of being uncomfortable, man. And that's, you know, the one thing I'm always preaching with our guys is you got to start getting comfortable being uncomfortable, man. Peers have got to be able to hold you accountable. You know, you might have to have a hard conversation with somebody that's the same age as you, you know. So trying to develop and culture and cultivate leaders, man. So the guys that are in our, we have 12 guys in leadership positions. And, you know, if you're going to be a leader, it's not going to be pleasing everybody. So they got to understand that. So I shared that with those guys. So
that's fantastic. Coach Taylor, thanks for joining us this week.
All right. Thanks for listening.